Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter today. But you know what? Turn to John 3 first. We're going to go to 1 Peter, but I want to go to John 3 first. So just go to John, St. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. Chapter 3, and then we're going to turn over to 1 Peter. John chapter 3. Begin reading. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1 of John 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Born again. Turn over to 1 Peter, if you would. Just turn right in your Bibles. 1 Peter is right after the book of James. 1 Peter, just chapter 1. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at this chapter, the latter part of this chapter, and then chapter 2. But I want to just begin reading here at verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Then down to verse 23 of the same chapter, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. This morning, I want to deal with the subject, born again. Born again. In the past few weeks, I've been talking about spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. The last verse we just read, we have read that a couple of different weeks in verse 23, where it speaks to a person being born again. And when we think about maturity as a believer, being born again is the beginning place. And so unless we're born again, there is no maturity spiritually. That is the very beginning point, and I just wanted to make that clear today. And because Christianity sometimes gets defined in some very incorrect ways in our society and in our day. And so when asking the question, what is Christianity, there are some people who will speak of it in terms of a religion, as a religion. And they would speak of Christianity just like they would the fact of there's of Hinduism, Buddhism, the Muslim religion, and then you got Christianity. And so many people would just speak of Christianity as just one of the religions of the world, and maybe what they see as an organized system of religion that exists in the world. Some people would speak of Christianity and they're thinking about it in terms of rituals, the church liturgy, how we do church, how our church does it, what. Or they may be defining how their denomination operates, and they're speaking of, when they think of Christianity, they immediately beeline to maybe the ordinances of the church and those type things and the different rituals that they may have that are of religious nature. And then another way someone might speak of Christianity would be a reorientation. And they may say, listen, I'm trying to do better. I started going to church. They may speak of it in terms of turning over a new leaf, making some midlife corrections or end-of-life corrections. We're reorienting my life, and I just feel like I need to do some things better than I've been doing. But true Christianity, and this is what I want you to hear today, Christianity, true Christianity is about a radical relationship with Jesus Christ. And you say, why do you call it radical? Well, it's only radical because that's what other people think that it is. It's a revolution. Not of a mass. It takes place individual to individual, where a person gives their heart and life to God through Jesus Christ, thus having a personal relationship with Jesus. And then when you bring all of that group of people together in settings like this, then that's where Christians gather, and we individually. Now when we think about the terminology Christian, Christians in the New Testament did not name themselves Christians. That, in fact, when we think about the people of God, there was many names for the people of God as we look. They were sometimes called the people of the way. We can just talk about the people of God, the church of God. Scripture speaks to the household of faith. But in the book of Acts, it teaches us that they were first followers of Jesus were first called Christians in Antioch, and they were called that by the people who were probably being derogatory regarding them, who didn't like them. These bunch of Christ followers that are turning our world upside down. Now, we think of that as maybe a something that would be a term of endearment. My point is, it is for us, but where it came from, not necessarily. And so we are Christ followers, and I'm not ashamed of it, are you? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone who believes. And I'm glad today to be a Christ follower. But I want you to know Christianity is more than religion. Christianity is more than going through some rituals. Christianity is more than just reorienting your life to do better. It's about a radical relationship with Jesus Christ whereby a person is transformed. Their life is transformed. So I want to just to make that clear today. And the Bible teaches that for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible speaks about becoming new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things passing away. Behold, all things becoming new. The Bible speaks of newness of life and everything changing in our life. The very word repentance in the Bible, to repent, and the Bible teaches that we are to repent. And in order for a person to be born again, they have to repent of their sins. And the word repent means a total turnaround. I'm walking in this direction, but then I go in the direction of God going the other way. And so it's important for us to understand what being a believer is. See, only God can give us the new birth in our life. It's what He does in and through us. And so I want to encourage you today if you're in this room today and you would have to say to yourself, I don't think that I've ever really been born again. I've turned over a new leaf. I started going to church. I started doing this, and I started living a little better or whatever, or trying to at least. But I want to tell you, if you have not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus and fully surrendered to Him, to live for Him, to follow after Him, to believe in Him with all your heart, I want to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord is wanting you to understand that you can be born again even today, even this morning. This can happen. This can happen in your life. See, this is what Jesus in John 3 was talking to Nicodemus about. Nicodemus was a religious ruler. Nicodemus was a religious man. In fact, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was in a select group of rulers. He was here in the passage. It even speaks in John 3. It speaks to Nicodemus even being a teacher of the Jewish people. He was a Pharisee. He was someone who was steeped in Judaism and religious teachings and that's who Nicodemus was. Nicodemus came to see Jesus at nighttime. But I'm sure because he wasn't sure, he probably was wondering how people would think of him if they were to see him in the daytime. Listen, he was, but if we'll notice back, you can turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. But he knew there was something different about Jesus. He said, these signs that you perform, these things that you do, there's something different about you. You see, Nicodemus had come to a place in his life where he knew religion was not enough. Nicodemus had come to a place where he realized the ritualistic things of religion were not enough. He understood that just reorienting your life wouldn't be enough. There must be something else, and there was something different about this man. And Jesus said to him, "You must be born again. You must be born again." Now, this is a reality of the day in which we live now. There are some people who will speak of being a Christian without being born again. They'll use language of it's hard to wrap your mind around it, but even saying I'm a born again Christian, it's been something in recent decades that has, where people felt like they needed to add born again Christian. But the truth of the matter, you can't be a Christian without being born again. That's the case. Being born again is what brings you in right relationship with God. And so I want us just to see that this morning. And why is this necessary that we be born again? And we'll just look at that just for a moment from here in 1 Peter. Verse 3, 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I just want to point out there where it says concerning the Father. And to say to you today that what being born again is doing in me and accomplishes in me and establishes in my life is a right relationship with God the Father. That's very important. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, except through me. And so it's so important that we get in right relationship with the Father. Jesus said you can't go to the Father. You can't be in right relationship with the Father. There is a barrier between you and the Father apart from me, and I've come to take down the barrier. And so being in right relationship with God is a relationship that we have with the Father. Now I mentioned Nicodemus was steeped in religion. He was steeped in ritual before he ever came to Jesus. So he understood a lot about God. He understood a lot about God. He understood God as Elohim in the Hebrew, they would say. He was creator. He understood him as El Shaddai, mighty God. He understood him as El Olam, everlasting God. He understood him in the many Jehovah, the titles that we speak to. We speak of Jehovah Jireh. Jireh, my provider. God's my provider. And God reveals himself to us through those Jehovah titles. He's Jehovah Shammah, meaning he's Jehovah who is present. He's Jehovah Shalom, which he is peace. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, which is my righteousness. He is Jehovah Rapha, which speaks to him as our healer, and Jehovah Rophi as our shepherd. And we see, and there's many more that I could share with you. And of course, Adonai, they knew him as Adonai, as Lord. And so they knew him, and they knew a lot about God and knew him in a lot of ways. And I'm sure this was Nicodemus. But Jesus is wanting him to understand that there is a relationship with God as our Father. That's a introduction in a whole different way. In fact, when we go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, it says that in Christ Jesus, this is the key to it, in Jesus, we've not been given a spirit of bondage to fear, but we've been given the spirit of adoption whereby we can call him Abba, Father. And that word Abba, that terminology speaks to the most intimate way that they could express in their language of having a relationship with God. And so in Christ Jesus, through Jesus being born again, we are given a spirit of adoption where that we're brought into the family of God. And we're brought into a relationship that is not just an experiential here, there, and it's not just some good things that God does. And we're thankful. I'm thankful that He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But I'm telling you, and I praise God for that, and we need Him, and I need Him like that. But I'm so thankful today that I can know God as Father today. Can you just see that beautiful? The disciples said to Jesus on an occasion, and we have it recorded for us in one place in Matthew 6. And they said, "Lord, teach us," talking to Jesus, "teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "Pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." And so I just want you to see that. Our Father. And I want to tell you, this is such a beautiful aspect of relationship. But you can only call God Father by virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the way that we can have relationship with the Father. And so being born again establishes a right relationship with God as Father. That's what being born again does. Because apart from having a right relationship with God, you and I are out of fellowship with God. You and I are not made righteous. We get our righteousness not from the great deeds that we do, not from works that we accomplish. Listen, you could get down on your hands and knees and crawl across a cobblestone, a big old parking lot, and just be bleeding going across there trying to somehow to appease a holy God, and you will not be able to do so. But Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, has satisfied the judgment of sin on our life, and He makes us right. You see, because the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." You see, it's not, I can't do enough right stuff. But when I'm in right relationship with Him, then I want to do right stuff. Does that make sense? I want to, but I can't do it to get right. But once I'm made righteous through Jesus Christ, then I want to live right. But then even there, He said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Because in this flesh, we're prone to not being able to be right. Just another way of saying it, we're prone to sinfulness in this world. But we're to surrender our life to Jesus, therefore our sins are washed away. And then I walk by faith in what Jesus has done for me on the cross, in dying for me in my stead, and washing my sins away. And by faith, I follow Jesus, leaning upon Him every day that I am made righteous in the eyes of God through Jesus Christ. Do we see how beautiful this is today? That when God looks at you, when you've been born again, when God looks at you, He doesn't see you as a person that just can't ever get it right, but He sees Jesus and He shed blood and He says, "That's my child," because Jesus has supplied what they needed. So not only do we need Him to be born again, we're born again through Him, but we live in righteousness every day through Jesus too. We need Him because sin separated us from God. Sin puts up a barrier between us and God that only Jesus can tear down Only Jesus can break the barrier down. Only Jesus can bridge the gap between us and God, being born again. And so he said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Must be born again. And so we must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him, accept him into our lives. That's what he desires for every one of us here today. He wants us to receive him. And the truth of the matter is, every time we gather, even among this number, there's always people that have not been born again. The beautiful thing about God is this, though. He loves you so much that he has made a way for you to be able to hear this truth today. And if you'll receive this truth, you can walk out of here saved. That's the beauty. It's the love of God. He loves you so much. You see, the Bible says that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Christianity and what true Christianity is about is not going around making people who are not right with God feel bad. True Christianity is about sharing the gospel so that people aren't lost. It's not about beating people up that don't know him, because guess what? Had it not been for the grace of God, the mercy of God, and we see it right here, if it was not for the abundant mercy of God, you and I would not be born again. None of us. And so every one of us who have already been born again today, it was because of the abundant mercy of God, not your good looks. It was the abundant mercy of God, not that you was raised to be a good gentleman or a moral person by your parents. That did not save you. It was only by the abundant mercy of Jesus, by our God through Jesus Christ, whereby we're saved today. And so, being born again establishes us in a right relationship with God as our Father. And we have the spirit of adoption whereby we can call him Abba, Father. We can address him as our Father. The second thing, can you believe it? I only have 2 points. The second thing is that being born again entitles you and I to eternal life. And what I mean by entitle, it qualifies. Being born again qualifies us for eternal life. I want you to say with me, all you who know John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, when we're born again, when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as John 3:16 says, then we are qualified for eternal life. Eternal life. That's good news today. Eternal life. And I want you to see here in 1 Peter, verse 3, in the last part it says, he has begotten us to a living hope to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so I want you to see here this eternal life. It's a living hope that we have. And the reason we have hope today is because Jesus is alive. We have a living Savior. We have a living Lord. Jesus is not, he didn't stay on the cross. And more importantly, obviously, even if he was dead, they would eventually have taken him off of the cross, but we have an empty cross. But it's not just that the cross is empty. We have an empty tomb. He's living. That's what makes the difference in here. This is why the scripture says, believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, because Jesus is alive. It's important for us to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. But that was not all that he did. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, and three days later he rose from the grave. Thus he is a living hope for us. He's alive right now. When we think about the other religions of the world, every religious leader that has ever lived is buried in a tomb, is buried somewhere, except our leader and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not buried anywhere. We have a living hope. We have a living hope. But with that thought in mind, I want to just say to you that life is short today. And the reason I bring up eternal life is because unless you and I are in the generation that experiences the rapture of the church, meaning the scriptures talk about a time when Christians, believers, will go to heaven and will not see death. There'll be a generation that will not see death. Other than that, we're gonna die. Let me just say this. Did you know you don't have to die of anything? You can be well when you die. Just wanted to throw that out there. Moses wasn't sick when he died. In fact, his eyesight hadn't even wavered. God just said, it's time, Moses. And he went and buried him. It was it. But in our day and time, the year 2021, they're going to put something on there saying you died of something. You know what I'm saying? They got to fill in a line on the death certificate. And so they're going to claim you died of something, even if God might have said, there ain't nothing wrong with them, I'm going to just take them home. But the point is this. Everybody has got to be prepared to leave this world. See, talking about spiritual growth and development and maturity, and we're going to continue that, but this scripture, I could not ignore this First Peter, where he was speaking of being born again. And I just wanted to really just zero in on that this subject today, because we cannot grow to where God wants us spiritually if we're not first born again. And know that we have accepted Jesus Christ and we are a follower of Jesus. Thus, our life is brand new. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And we begin our journey in following the Lord. But other than that, we've got to realize that life is short. And yes, he has abundant life for us here now. The Bible says that he wants us to live in the light of his glory, even in this world, even in the midst of the difficulties of this world. And he will make us, he says he's made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. I want to tell you, God is a great God and he helps us every day of this life, and praise God for that. But there is life beyond this life of eternity, because everyone will breathe their last in this world at some point. You see, Alan that I introduced you to. Alan, you had to think about all that stuff, didn't you, man? The reality of the end of life. And thank God, the Lord said, I'm not done with Alan Murray yet. I'm not finished with Alan Murray. But I want to tell you, we all need to be prepared. We have a living hope. I want you to grab hold of that today. And not only that, I want you to see right in verse 4, it says that in Jesus Christ, it says we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. We have inheritance. Because why? We're in the family of God. Listen, you may say, well, nobody left me nothing. I want to tell you, Jesus has left you everything that you'll ever need. You're not going to take anything out of this world with you when you go. But I want to tell you, there are treasures laid up in heaven and there is glories that await us beyond compare. Listen, I'm one of these people, I believe God's got a lot of things in store for us right here on earth. I'm a person that's a visionary, a dreamer. I get excited about what I can see God do in the days ahead here. But somebody goes to meet the Lord all the time. All the time. And I just wanted to be real clear about that this morning. That everybody don't go to heaven when they die. Only those who are born again. Everybody that goes to church hasn't been born again. Everybody that participates in the rituals of the church might not have been born again. They might have just participated in communion. They might have just participated and got baptized in water. They might have come to church and sung the songs and even brought their Bible and opened it up to the scripture. Maybe even took notes. But unless you believe and put all of your hope and trust in Jesus, and accept fully who he is, and surrender your life to him and say, I want to live for you. I deny myself. I take up my cross today and I follow you, Jesus. I want you. I hadn't always said what I'm fixing to say. Really more in recent times as I've... I grew up in the church my whole life. If you've been in church your whole life, what I mean by that is your parents took you to church. So you've been in church your whole life. If that, just raise your hand if that's you. Yeah, not everybody, but as a good portion. You see, I was a preacher's kid. I knew, I'd heard the gospel my whole life. But I tell you what was loud and clear. I didn't want to go to hell, man. And so as a kid, I can't tell you. I probably got saved every night. Just think about it for just a moment. You know, of course, my mama, she'd come in my room when I was real little. I'd say, "Mama, read me that story." My favorite Bible story was about Absalom getting his hair hung up in the tree. But I knew Bible story. There was lots of things. I mean, but I'm going to tell you what really got my attention, though, was when they'd say something about not being right with the Lord. All those who don't know the Lord don't go to heaven. They go to hell. And I'd be like, whew. And think about a prayer like this. "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray." Listen, you want to shake up a kid and get them not to sleep, pray that prayer with them. Get their mind on dying before they wake. One comedian says, "I pray the Lord my soul to take." I mean, it's a cut on the light in the hallway, mama. I didn't want to be left behind when the rapture took place. I mean, that was another, man, I didn't want to be left behind. What I'm telling you is I prayed nearly every day, "Lord, please don't let me die lost." But at 14 years old, let me tell you what happened that was different. This is what now, I say I hadn't always said this, but until recently. I really think I was born again when I was 14. Because it wasn't about missing hell. It wasn't about the rapture. It was when the Word of God penetrated my heart. And I realized that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that he had bought me with the price of his own blood. And that because he had bought me with the price of his blood, if I just believed upon that reality, I'd be saved. And so I realized that he purchased me, and therefore I'm not my own. And I want to tell you what began that day was a relationship where I loved Jesus. It wasn't about missing hell, and thank God for that. I'm glad I'm going to miss hell. It wasn't about missing the rapture. It was about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so now I say, when I really was born again was at 14 years old. Now, I can't tell you, listen, I believe that innocence, that God does whatever God wants to do in that. But I know this, by the time I had reached that point in my life, I was way beyond innocence. And I needed Jesus, and I realized it. And I was born again. I said all that to say this, but I'm going to just turn to the back of your Bibles because it's still true. See, the reality of what I said concerning life and death are true. Revelation 21 verse 1 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice. I heard a loud voice." I think I'm at the right place. "And behold, a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." I'll stop there. Verse chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more night there, that they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Listen, eternal life is going to be beyond anything we can imagine. But Revelation 20 is also true. Verse 11, Revelation 20, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's still the truth. That's still the truth. You must be born again. And in so doing, you'll have a relationship with God the Father. In so doing, you'll have eternal life.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.